Hi, this is Eva Cox on the latest episode of How to Try and Make Societies More Civil. We've just had the budget, and I talked a fair bit about what we expected last week, and unfortunately what we expected is what we got, which was a budget which really did not address anything to do with the broader issues of the relationship between voters and the government. The budget still fed into the idea of a deepening level of distrust that's actually coming from the voters, rather than all of those bribes that they offered as tax cuts being trust. Before the budget came down, I checked the polls to see what people wanted in the budget, and my search showed a remarkable consistency of responses that people wanted the extra money that there was, and that was fairly public, to be spent on fixing the deficit or increased funding for health, education and even welfare rather than tax cuts. Yet despite that, what we got not only in the budget, but also in almost all the commentary, was stuff about the tax cuts and how much you'd benefit and lots of tables telling us how much extra we'd get and when we'd get it and various other things. And then, of course, we had the response from the Labor Party, and they offered a bigger set of tax cuts. And they did offer some increased money for services for the aged and for various other groups. But the focus was still basically on the tax cuts. But if you go back and look at those polls, including a Sky News Reachtel poll, showed 48% wanted people to fix the deficits and only 39% wanted tax cuts. A JWS poll, which was in the Fin Review, fairly conservative one, 32 wanted debt fixed and 27 wanted tax cuts, and only 10% wanted the company tax cuts. So this, from fairly conservative polls, is really an indication that people really weren't interested in getting the tax cut. They wanted to fix something about the government. They wanted the government to clearly respond to the needs that people wanted for more security, for a good budget, which is fixing the deficit, and or funding for various things that needed to be funded. Essential media and per capita, which are ones that come from a slightly more progressive viewpoint, showed that voters wanted more spent on social and other services, including welfare payments, when asked. Few wanted tax cuts, and a hashtag on spending my $10 also had many responses of improving other payments and funding. Yet the whole focus of the budget report and the media coverage was on the tax cuts and who would get what. Why don't politicians take notice of the polls? At other times they do. A really good article by Peter Harcher in the Sydney Morning Herald the following Monday explained this disconnect very well. The focus, he explains, as follows, using the data from the Fairfax Ipsos poll, reflect the political orthodoxy that voters are essentially self-seeking. Give them a tax cut and they'll give you your vote and to hell with the deficit. This is a view that's very common amongst politicians. And then there was a time when the voters did behave accordingly, said Harcher. But that's ancient history. It changed decades ago. And if you look at the polls that the Australian election study does over those years, you can see the swing that came in the 90s when people stopped saying they wanted more tax cuts and started saying, use the money for what we need to create a better society. But the Ipsos poll, which is what Harcher's based his article on, asked 1,200 voters, given the choice, would you prefer the government to use the extra revenue to provide income tax cuts or pay off government debt? 57% preferred that government paid off debt. 37% went for the tax cuts. Interestingly, it's the coalition's own voters who feel strongly about this. 68% prefer small national debt. But even a majority of Labor voters and a plurality of Green voters feel the same way. This broad reaction is, as Ian McAllister, who's a fairly conservative political scientist from the ANU, predicted well before the budget. And this is what's interesting. It has a name, he said. Sociotropic choices put the greater good of the country ahead of narrow personal self-interest or egocentric voting. Now, that's an interesting idea because we really don't have those sorts of views shared by politicians. I'll come to that a bit later. He said, there's a lot of literature on it. It started in the 1980s in Britain when people asked the question, why did Margaret Thatcher keep winning elections when she kept screwing everybody? There was harsh industrial tactics and austerity politics were polarising and unpopular. They ruled Britain for a decade, but she kept winning elections because people were prepared to make personal sacrifices if they believed it was for the good of the country. So please remember that, because that's an option that politicians really don't accept. When it came to last week's budget, McAllister predicted personal tax cuts will only help the government if the electorate believes they're good for the country as a whole, not just for the individual. But it won't if it's just the government saying, I'm going to stuff $20 in his pocket, he said. In the event, Morrison said he'd stuff a maximum of $10 a week in your pocket, and lacking evidence that this would help economic growth, said Harcher, for the country as a whole, he didn't try and make the argument. It was Labour that promised to stuff $20 a week in your pocket. Why do politicians refuse to believe decades of consistent polling and research? They usually say they don't believe the polling. They say people just tell the pollsters what they think sounds noble, and that privately we're all motivated by base greed. And I've heard the same argument when I put it to politicians, which is a funny response from a class of people that lives and dies by poll results. Perhaps it tells us more about politicians than it does about the people consequences. And what the result is more distrust. Bruce Hawker, who used to be the ALP pollster, has just run another poll with the disaffected. And he presented a sample of some 500 of them with 42 statements on their political views. By far the biggest response was, Australia needs a strong leader who will govern for everyone. 87% agreed, and that's very scary because that's exactly what's happening in Europe. It's around double the proportion who want more spending on healthcare, for instance. I think that might be a bit of a dubious one because other people do actually want more out of healthcare. But one in three of a total sample of disaffected Australian voters said they were prepared to weaken democracy if it meant governments getting things done for me or for the country at large. 47% said they would not. We need to fix the distrust levels, but the budget has failed to do it. This is raising very serious issues for us, because if you take a look at the polls, and particularly if you look at the ones that came out of Essential Media and Per Capita, they show that people actually want to live in a good country. They want more money spent on healthcare. They want more money spent on education, which admittedly the Labour Party's done, but as a sort of second-level promise. And they also, in Per Capita's case, want more money spent on welfare, which has risen very rapidly over the last couple of budgets. So this idea that voters are all self-interested deadshits who are actually going to vote for the party that offers the most is what I call the Woolworths and Coles version of election pamphlets. You know, what you get, psst, vote for us and you get $10, psst, vote for us and you get $20. But this reinforces the idea that politicians don't really understand what the voters want. We do have to do some deep thinking about what we want, and we somehow or other have to convince politicians that we do care about the good of the country and don't just vote out of self-interest.